Hi, my name is Hallie May. I'm a genetic counselor at the Columbia University Medical Center Institute for Genomic Medicine, directed by David Goldstein.
And I'm Jason Carmel, the executive director of the Weinberg Family CP Center, a neurologist and neuroscientist. And it's our pleasure to present this paper on behalf of our collaborative team. So cerebral palsy has historically been thought of as an acquired syndrome, but there's an increasing recognition of the genetic susceptibility to cerebral palsy. As we understand more about the genetics, we ask the question about whether people with known risk factors for cerebral palsy should have genetic testing. So this paper is addressing the central question of who to test.
So now that you have the question, our hypothesis was that individuals without risk factors for their CP, that means that they don't have an identified cause for their CP, but have a significantly higher diagnostic yield from whole exome sequencing genetic testing than patients that do have identified risk factors or a supposed known cause of their CP after that testing. We did that by recruiting an unselected cohort of patients that included patients both with and without known risk factors for cerebral palsy. We performed whole exome sequencing on all of those participants. And finally, we were able to split them into two different groups, patients with and without risk factors, by retrospectively looking at the medical record and evaluating for different risk factors. Those risk factors were prematurity, brain bleed or stroke, birth asphyxia, brain malformation, and intrauterine infection. For those participants where we couldn't find that information in the medical record, we went back and contacted them to try and understand the risk factors that may have been that they may have had earlier in their medical history. We interpreted whole exome sequencing by a standard protocol used by the Institute for Genomic Medicine at Columbia. This is a protocol that is highly constrained to really try to minimize the amount of variants that come through that are potentially causative. So we had 151 patients in our unselected cohort. 81.5% of them had identified risk factors or what is they thought to be causes for their CP. 18.5% did not have risk factors. And really interestingly, and the exciting result was that there was not a significant difference between the diagnostic rate between individuals with and without risk factors for their CP. So if you go back and remember our hypothesis, we thought that individuals without risk factors or no identified cause for their CP would have a higher diagnostic yield. And that proved false. That is not what we found out. We actually found out that there was no significant difference. So notice there was a 14.3% diagnostic rate in patients without risk factors for their CP. That is higher than the 8.1% with risk factors, but it is not a significant value. And the fact that there were over 8.1% diagnostic yield in patients with known risk factors for their CP was very unexpected. And in fact, in that group, in that 8.1% of patients with variants who also had risk factors, there were many variants in genes that have not been associated with CP previously. We also noticed that there was a positive correlation for a genetic testing result in patients that had intellectual disabilities or developmental delays. And there was a negative correlation in genetic testing results in patients with extreme preterm birth, stroke, and brain hemorrhage, and older age.
So the first 150 patients is just the beginning to address this question, but we've currently continued to test individuals with cerebral palsy, both those with or without risk factors in our center. And the fact that there was a relatively high diagnostic yield in those without known risk factors brings up the possibility that some of these genes may actually confer susceptibility to those risk factors, to prematurity or brain bleed. And the further studies are really needed in order to kind of define for each individual their pretest probability. We'll also need to know how useful this genetic information is to understand natural history, to be able to split up some of these different forms of cerebral palsy or palsies into known trajectories for natural history. And then eventually, hopefully, be able to better target therapies. Thank you for listening to this presentation, and we invite you to contact us. We would love to continue the conversation.
Yes, thank you for listening to our presentation, and we hope you enjoy the paper. Have a nice day.